I don't know why we don't say this every Sunday, but he is risen.
He is risen indeed.
We should. Say it every Sunday. I want to give a special shout out to a few people online that can't make it. I know they want to be here. I want to say hi to Pat, to Donna, to Kathy, to Nancy. Hi, Nancy. And to Ryan. We've been praying for Ryan now for quite some time. He's here halfway through his chemo treatment before the stem cell transplant. So keep praying for him, Ryan. Wish you could be here, but hi, right? Well, in case you missed it earlier, my name is James. I'm one of the staff here, and I will tell you that I'm going to start off in a way that kind of seems random, okay? Maybe if you want to use a fancy word, maybe tangential. Makes me sound smart, doesn't it? If I knew what it meant. You know, in a way that kind of feels disconnected, so stay with me, okay? Bear with me here. First tangent, here we go. I was wanting to be really creative, because you know it's Easter and all, so I thought to myself, what would be creative this week? Ooh, I know, I'll combine two words and make one new word. It'll be awesome, right? I'll combine faith and life and make the word fife. On Monday, I thought it was genius. Right? I thought, wow, this is flat out amazing. Now, I know that sometimes people of my generation might say things that they don't know what they mean, so I double-checked just to make sure I wasn't saying anything inappropriate. I looked at urbandictionary.com, and then I typed in fife in the Google machine, and wouldn't you know it, a fife already exists. It's like a musical instrument. It's a little flute that's played in the military. Now, if you know that, you're more cultured than me, okay? But I learned that there's more things about fife at my staff meeting this past Wednesday. Did you know there's a Fife, Washington?
Yes.
Who knew? Obviously not me, right? And did you know that probably the best sheriff's deputy to ever... for everybody who's not under the age of... I don't know what the age cutoff would be, but there's Barney Fife, for those who never watched the Andy Griffith show. Right? Never carried a gun, just one bullet in his left pocket. Barney Fife. Well, here I go thinking I was going to be creative, make a new word, and I just didn't. But I'm still going to run with this, so just pretend that I'm really, really smart this morning, okay? I figured we should combine faith and life, because too often we separate those things. Right? Too often we have our quiet time in the morning, our devotions, maybe we pray in the car like John does, and maybe we listen to some worship music as we go, and maybe on Sundays we gather together and we check a box, and then we go on with the rest of our regular, everyday, mundane life, right? We kind of separate the two, but I don't think we should, and I don't think it's right to, because they don't really separate well. So, from here on out, if I talk about the race of fife, I'm talking about the race of life and faith. Does that make sense? Yeah? You still with me? No? Just for today. All right. I had somebody leave the church once because I made up a word and a definition, so come back next week, please. All right, that's the first tangent. Next tangent, I talked about the race of fife. Speaking of races. Tim, where's Tim? Tim back there, who let us on guitar. Tim and I like to do triathlon. I don't know why, okay? Because we swim, we bike, we run. I don't like swimming, and biking's a long ways, and nobody likes to run. But anyways, we do that. We don't really know why, but we found out early on in this hobby that triathlon, it's an expensive sport. Like the entry fees, especially for like those name-branded ones like Ironman, wow, you could make a house payment for something like that. Okay, so Tim and I early on were like, well, what if we just create our own race? And, you know, because apparently this goes back a ways, what if we made, like, combine a couple of names and named it Skullyman? Because that's Tim Scully, and I'm James Lehman. Oh, genius, right? You should have told me like 10 years ago that that wasn't as smart as I thought it was. But look, it gets even better, okay? Because his wife, Christy, says, if you guys are going to go out and do a race, I'm going to make you a t-shirt. Because then it becomes real. I mean, look at this. I earned that. And for our friends online, they get to see that up there. Not only do I have a t-shirt that says Skull Lehman, Christy made me a medal. It says triathlon. And on the back, it says Skull Lehman 70.3 June 2017 finisher. You know how many people were in that race that day?
Two.
You know who won? Nobody, because Tim kept waiting for me, so we crossed the line together. Oh, it was fantastic, right? You know, for some people, that's just a long training day, but you add a t-shirt and a medal, it becomes legit, right? That's the real reason we do these things. Okay, so that's second tangent. Are we still here? All right, we got Fife, and we've got a race. Now, don't raise your hands, but I'll dive in. Don't raise your hand, but did getting ready for today and getting here at 9:31 or 8:44 for breakfast, did it feel a little bit like a race?
Yep.
Did it feel like you were rushed getting out the door? I mean, last night you laid your Easter clothes out. I did. Some of you are thinking I just found jeans. These are brand new jeans. I got them yesterday. That's right. I picked this shirt out last night by myself. So you picked out your Easter clothes last night. You knew that there'd be breakfast at the church. You set your alarm a little bit earlier, and for some reason it still felt like a race to get out the door to get here on time. All the parents in the house were like, Easter Sunday can be brutal. I don't know if I can say that as a pastor, but Easter Sunday can be brutal, right? You get ready, you get out the door, you get to the egg hunt, which I hope you realize is 327 hours of volunteer work for 3 minutes of egg hunt. That's why we didn't do it this year. Okay? And those kids, man, they race like it's no tomorrow to find the eggs, but then it doesn't stop there. Normally we do an egg hunt before church, and then there's church. You got to come inside, you got to sit there for church, and then you follow that by greeting people who you haven't seen in a long time, and then you have to hurry to grandma's house to make sure you put the chicken in the oven so that you can eat lunch at one, and then the kids by that time are tired and cranky because they've been up already earlier than normal, but they're not done yet because you got to go to the small group house to do another egg hunt there, and then you go back to your house where you eat dinner, but the kids don't really eat dinner because they've eaten so much candy during the day, right? Oh, and then you get to the bedtime routine, which is just plain chaos because they're wired, and then you fall into the couch exhausted at the end of the day, and you think, feels like I just did a marathon. And that's just Easter, right? That's Fife, combining faith and life. Does your everyday feel like that? A little bit? Maybe it feels like a race? Right? Sometimes a sprint, sometimes a marathon, sometimes those new trail races that are like 200 plus miles long. Do you like to race? Do you ever sit there and wonder, why do I even do this? And how can I keep going on in this race we call life? Now, what we got to remember is that we each run a slightly different race, right? Miss Marlene, it's so good to see you. Her race looks different than my race, which looks different than Brianna's race. Which looks different than your race, Bruce. Okay, which looks different than Wayne's race, which looks different than, you get it, right? We all run a different five, but I think we all keep running and running and running. Besides just the Skull Lehman, which is the highlight every year, right, Tim? Absolutely best race ever because nobody loses. I've grown up kind of racing. When I was younger, I used to do the races that got done in like less than 12 seconds. And now that I'm older and I can't move that fast, I do the longer races that take longer than 12 hours. And on those longer races, you have plenty of time for your mind to think and to wander different places. And several times on some of those longer races, my mind has wandered to a passage that Elena read earlier, that the Apostle Paul was writing to the church in Philippi, teaching them how to live like Christ. My mind will go towards this, Philippians 3, verse 13 and 14. Forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead, I press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God, through Christ Jesus, is calling us. Forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead, I press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God, through Christ Jesus, is calling us. You know, maybe you do the 100-yard dash, 100-meter dash, 80 meters in, you're looking forward, right? Maybe you do the 140.6-mile race, so 135 miles in, you're looking forward. What's this got to do with Easter? What's this got to do with you and with me? I mean, if we're exhausted running the race of Fife, can't we stop? No, we've got to finish. We've got to finish. Why? Because that's what Jesus did. I'm going to pray, and then we're going to dive in. Lord, I thank you that we get to open your story. I thank you that there's stuff for us to learn. And I don't know, Lord, who in here needs to hear what's going to be said. It might just be me. Lord, and if that's the case, so be it. But Lord, would you open our ears to hear what you want to say to each individual here? Guide and direct us. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so if you've got a Bible or a phone app, you want to open it to Philippians chapter 3. A lot of people will say to the book of Philippians, but let's be candid. It's not a book. It's a letter. It's a letter between friends, right? Paul writing to the church in Philippi. If you're not sure where Philippians is, open the Bible to the middle, right? And then start flipping towards the back. And if you still can't find it, do what I do every time. Go to the table of contents and look for the page where it starts. Now, in my Bible, Philippians starts on page 1764, but I have giant print, so it might be on a lower number for you guys. All right? When Pastor Trevor and I were talking about where we go with this Easter series, this four-week series, looking at this book of Philippians, we realized that from a high-level view, this letter really is about Paul telling the church, this is how you become like Christ. So we titled the series, A Call to Christ-likeness. Now, in the first chapter, 2 weeks ago, I said that in order to become like Christ, we have to keep our eyes focused on Christ, and we need to do that with other people. So it was an upward focus with other people, kind of like our vision, walking with others as we walk with Christ. Last week, Pastor Trevor told us that we needed to pour out our lives like Christ did, pour them out for him, and we should do this by holding firmly to Jesus. His key text was Philippians 2, 16 and 17, where it says, hold firmly to the word of life, and then on the day of Christ's return, I will be proud that I did not run the race in vain and that my work was not useless. But I will rejoice even if I lose my life, pouring it out like a liquid offering to God, just as your faithful service is an offering to God. I want us all to share in that joy, Paul says. So last week, Pastor Trevor says, pour out your lives like Jesus did. And this week, that race comment in verse 2 about, you know, I did not run the race in vain, it kind of foreshadowed what I'm going to talk about today. All right, so here, if you remember nothing else, in order to be like Christ, we must finish the race. In order to be like Christ, we must finish the race. No matter how many days you have left in that race, for some it's many, for some it's few, but you must finish the race. I mean, that's what Paul says, forgetting the past, looking forward to what lies ahead, I press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly medal and t-shirt for which God, through Christ Jesus, is calling us, right? That's what I see. That's why we do this thing. That's what we need to do. We must finish the race. Now, you may be wondering, how is this like being like Jesus, right? Well, Paul alluded to the fact that Jesus finished his race. Verse 10 in chapter 3. I want to know Christ and experience the mighty power that raised him from the dead. I want to suffer with him, sharing in his death, so that one way or another I will experience the resurrection of the dead. I mean, ultimately, we know this is why we're here on Easter Sunday, right? This is the story of Easter. Jesus lived, Jesus died, Jesus conquered death, and we get to enjoy the benefits of that. When Jesus came to earth, when God wrapped himself in human flesh as a baby, he knew he had a race to run. And that race involved loving us. It involved laughing with us, crying with us, being happy, glad, sad, mad with us. That race involved giving up his life, which he had lived perfectly, so that we wouldn't have to give up ours. It was a sacrifice, but that wasn't the end. The cross was not the end, because there's the empty tomb, which I would even argue maybe that's the finish line, but there's still more to Jesus' race, and it's ongoing, and he's cheering for us and all that, right? So we do know that this wasn't an easy race for Jesus, don't you? I mean, as fully God, fully human, you know that like life was hard for him. And at any given time, he could have thrown in the towel on this race we call life. This race we call fife, although Jesus didn't call it that. I looked, it's not in here. Okay? He could have thrown it in at any given time, especially the last week. There were several times, I think, that he could have, and nobody would have blamed him for it. I mean, when he's washing the feet of the man who would betray him, that's the time where it's like, oh, peace out, I'm done. Right? Or when he then, just a few minutes later, sits down at dinner with the 12, knowing that all 12 of them, when he gets arrested, are going to run for their lives. They're going to leave him by himself. Or when Jesus was praying so fervently in the garden in Luke chapter 22 that he, like, sweat blood. You remember his prayer? I don't want to do this, but I want what you want more. You can look at Luke 22 for that, right? I sweat when I run, but as soon as I start sweating blood, I'm done. Which has never happened. But Jesus kept going. He could have thrown in the towel. He could have called in for reinforcements. We know this, right? He knew that. He told the people who were arresting them that that's what he could do. Matthew chapter 26, verse 53, he says, "Don't you realize that I could ask my Father for thousands of angels to protect us, and he'd send them instantly? But if I did that, how would the scriptures be fulfilled that describe what must happen now? If I did that," Jesus was saying, "how could I finish the race that God has given me to race?" That's what I hear him saying. So, you and I, in order to be more like Christ, we need to finish the race. We need to forget what's behind us, look forward to what lies ahead, and press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God, through Christ Jesus, has called us. We must finish the race well. Now, that's good and all, right? And I've spent some time in locker rooms. Tommy, you've spent some time in locker rooms. You know when a coach gets up, he gives this highly motivational speech, and everybody goes out real excited, and then by the time warm-ups are done, they're exhausted, and they just don't want to keep going on, right? So I can stand up here and say, we must finish the race well, and hip, hip, hooray, and you guys get out of here, but you may be wondering, how? How do we finish the race well? Well, I got a couple of thoughts. A couple of thoughts, just two, okay? The first is this. We must make sure we're racing the right race. We must make sure we are racing the right race. Too often, we revert back into the things of our past or the experiences of our past or the expectations of the past, and we get stuck in that, and we don't race the race Jesus has called us to. We're racing the wrong race. I met one of my good friends, Patrick, at a bike race in Coeur d'Alene. It was the Coeur de Fondo. It's a great name for it. This was 8 or 9 years ago. He's become a good friend. I met him at the beginning because he was a friend of a friend. And that race had three different lengths to it. There was a short length where you rode partially around the lake and then you got onto a ferry and it took you back. And then there was a middle length and then there was a longer length. Well, Patrick told me he's racing the middle length, and I was a knucklehead, and I was racing the longer race, the longer distance, and you had to pay attention to where you turn off, otherwise you were going to miss it, right? Well, the middle distance turnoff was about mile 37, right? So that's where Patrick should have turned, but I caught up to Patrick, because he's way faster than me, still is, 12 years older, and he can make me look foolish on a bike. I caught up to Patrick at an aid station on mile 67. I'm like, "Hey, Patrick, what you doing, man?" "I'm just getting some water. I'm almost done." "Really? Like, you're doing the middle race, right?" "Yeah, I am. Your turnoff was 15 miles ago." He said a few things that we can't repeat here on a Sunday morning. And then he decided to race nice and slow with me the rest of the long race. He came in dead last of all the people who raced the middle distance race. But he also went 40 miles further than anybody else, right? He was racing the wrong race. In this race that we call fife, we have to make sure we are racing the right race, which involves following the right rules, okay? In the life before Christ, we tried to make, to do things ourselves, right? To under our own power, our own strength, our own effort to, whether it's live right, whether it's please God, whatever it is, we try to do it all on our own, and we are bound to fail when we do that. In the past, this experience of faith before Jesus, there was the Big Ten rules, and there was a specific set that you had to follow, and there was a specific group of people that you had to be a part of to be called God's people. And this was a very strenuous life. It was a ton of effort. And the guy who wrote this letter, the Apostle Paul, was really, really, really good at that life. He was really good. Listen to how he describes how good he was. This is Philippians 3, verse 4 through 6. He said, I could have confidence in my own effort if anyone could. I mean, indeed, if others have reason for confidence in their own efforts, I have even more. I was circumcised when I was 8 days old. I'm a pure-blooded Hebrew, a citizen of Israel, a member of the tribe of Benjamin. Oh, man, I was a member of the Pharisees who demand the strictest obedience to the Jewish law. I was zealous, so zealous that I harshly persecuted the church. And as for living right, I obeyed the law without fault, he says. Paul was good at this old race with these old rules. I mean, in the triathlon world, we would have said he stuck to his training plan. He watched his nutrition. He got enough rest. He saw all the YouTube videos on how to act and not act, and he made sure that he was acting how he was supposed to act and not how he was not supposed to act. On his own effort, he was extremely good, and then he met Jesus on this road to Damascus, and Jesus said, you know what, I'm changing the rules. From here on out, it's not about what you do, it's about what I've done. From here on out, it's not about what you do, it's about what I have already done. That's why Paul says in the beginning of the second half of verse 3, he says, we rely on what Christ Jesus has done for us. We put no confidence in human efforts. Paul was no longer in the race where he had to do it all. He was in the race where Jesus said, hey, I've done it, so just come along with me. I love it. I think back to Matthew chapter 11 where Jesus says, are you tired? Are you worn out? Come to me because the burden I'm going to give you is light, right? And I think when he met Paul, he's probably like, hey, rules have changed, but don't worry. It gets easy, but it doesn't. We know that, right? Light. Paul continued in verse 7 through 9. He said, I once thought all these things that he had just listed of all the things he had done well. I once thought all these things were valuable, but now I consider them worthless because of what Christ Jesus has done. Yes, everything else is worthless when compared with the infinite value of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For his sake, I have discarded everything else, counting it all as garbage so that I could gain Christ and become one with him. No longer, this is James paraphrasing, do I run my own race, trying to do everything on my own, whether it's life, whether it's faith, whether it's fife. No longer do I do this on my own. But I become righteous through faith. This is Christ's way of making us righteous. In this new race, Jesus is offering us. He's saying, you know what? It's not about how much you train anymore. It's about what I've already finished. And it's okay to look back at where you've come because as followers of Jesus, it's good for us to say, wow, when I was in junior high, I was like this. But now that I'm, you know, a lot older, my wife still thinks I act like I'm in junior high. So I've grown tons and tons. Paul says in verse 16, but we must hold on to the progress that we have already made. So we shouldn't forget where we've come from. But he comes back over and over to, but forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead, I press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which Christ Jesus is calling us. This race of fife, it involves the thing we call faith, right? Our time in Scripture, our time praying, our time in gathered community, our time walking with others as we walk with Christ. That's all faith stuff. But it also, we race this race of faith, not just in those times with Jesus, but in other times. You know, Jesus is with you when you go to the grocery store. He's with you when you're changing diapers. He's even with you when you're on the phone with a customer service at Xfinity. Sometimes I wish he wasn't there. He's with you when a friend calls and says, I need to go to the doctor to find out the results of the scan. He's with you when you feel like you're just ready to give up on whatever life is. And he says, this is the new race. Let me carry it. Let me put the effort in because I've already done that. It's not your strength. It's my strength. That's what Jesus says. So as we're looking at how in the world do we finish this race called fife, because again, I know we're each running different races. And sometimes life can be hard. And sometimes we feel like we want to give up, we want to throw in the towel. I want to make sure you're running the right race first, okay? That's the first thing. The second thing is this. You have to know your why. You have to know your why. In the longer triathlons that Tim and I will do, there's the day before, there's like an athlete briefing, and the race director stands up and says, "Hey, we're so excited you guys are here, and here's the rules that you need to follow, and here's the aid stations, and here's where the water's going to be, and there's going to come a point tomorrow where you're tired and you want to stop swimming, and where you want to get off the bike, and where you want to take off your shoes and your timing chip and just throw in the towel." But the race director says, "Don't stop. Don't quit. Just keep going." And in those times, remember your why. Every race I've done, the race director have said that. Remember your why. You know, I could say I race for a medal and a t-shirt, but in reality, no. I mean, those are gonna rust. Those are gonna go away. I race so that when I see my wife on top of a hill cheering, she's the best cheerleader ever, I can see that look in her eyes of, "That's my husband. Not as fast as he was when he was 35, but he'll get here eventually," right? She's cheering for him. I keep racing so that when I can tell my sons, "Hey, life is hard, it's challenging, you want to give up, but look, if I can go that far, you guys can take this next step." Right? You got to know your why. And our why has to be so much bigger than just surface level things. And this is the things that bring us like immediate gratification. Paul mentions this in verse 18 and 19. He said, "For I've told you often before, and I say it again with tears in my eyes, that there are many whose conduct shows they are really enemies of the cross of Christ, and they are headed for destruction. Their God is their appetite. They brag about shameful things. They think about only things that this life has here on earth." Paul is saying these people race for the wrong why. They want the immediate gratification. They want the medal so that everybody can see it and say, "Wow, you're good." Paul's saying that doesn't matter. You got to know your why. It's beyond temporal perks and benefits. Paul says, so here's what your why needs to be. Because this is my why, is what Paul says. Your first why needs to be about Jesus. Knowing Jesus. Verse 8 in here. Paul says, yes, everything else is worthless. No matter how many t-shirts, how many medals, how many promotions, how many pats on the back, how many attaboys, it's all worthless when compared with the infinite value of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For his sake, I've discarded everything, counting it as garbage so that I can gain Christ. Just a couple of sentences later, he says, I want to know Christ. Paul's why for keeping going on that next day was to know Christ. Because friends, in this life here, we can know Christ better. Right? We don't stop learning when we graduate from Sunday school. Like, I can know Christ more tomorrow than I do today, so that ought to get me out of bed no matter how bad a day I'm having today. Tomorrow, if I can know Christ a little bit more intimately, dearly, you know, if I can feel his love a little bit more, I'm not talking about knowing about him. I'm talking about knowing him. If I can know Christ more, I'm going to get up. I want to do that. So Paul says, your why's got to include knowing Christ today. Now, for all of us who think about that sweet, that blessed assurance and that sweet by and by way off in the faraway land, right? Paul also mentions that. He mentions forever. He says this in verse 20 and 21. He says, we're citizens of heaven, where the Lord Jesus Christ lives. We're eager for him to return as our Savior, to take our weak and mortal bodies and change them into glorious bodies like his own, using the same power with which he'll bring everything under his control. Paul says there's a future, and he wasn't talking about poofy clouds and gold streets and pearly gates. He was talking about when Jesus comes back and makes things new, like renewed. I love how the writer John says in Revelation 21, I heard a loud shout from the throne saying, God's home is now among his people. He'll live with them, and they'll be his people, and God himself will be with them. I think Paul was looking forward to that time. He said, yes, I want to know Christ as best as I can now, but there's going to come a time into forever which I get to know him even more, and that gives us reason to keep going. That gives us hope, okay? But just so that Paul's audience doesn't get stuck saying, oh, well, we go to church because we know Jesus and we can someday end up in heaven, Paul brings it right back to the immediate. And he says, you know what? There's one more why for why you keep going. It's chapter 4, verse 1. Paul says, "Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stay true to the Lord. I love you and long to see you, dear friends, for you are my joy and the crown that I receive for my work." You are the joy and the crown that I receive for my work. Paul is saying, you are my medal and t-shirt. You guys want to know why I keep doing this? Paul says it's so I can know Christ today. It's so I can know him forever. And it's so that maybe somebody else will know him as well. And that's why, if we're still breathing, we got to keep going forward. That's why, if we still have a heartbeat, our heart can beat for Jesus and for other people. That's the reason why I can stand up here and say we must finish the race. It's about Jesus, it's about others, and we got to make sure we're racing that right race. Where's Gabe? Gabe? He might not be in here. Gabe's part of the reason I race. You're part of the reason I get up the next day. Okay? Deborah? You're part of the reason I get up the next day. Deborah? You're part of the reason I get up the next day. There's another Deborah in here. I know it. Where's she at? Deborah? There's a fourth Deborah. No, I know it. I met her this morning. Spells the same way that my twin sister spells it. You're part of the reason I race, Deborah. Okay? For other people so that they can get a glimpse of Jesus. My job is to just point people to him and let him do the rest, because that's what he's already done. He's already finished the race. And man, I picture him like at these long races that we do, the finishers finish seriously like 7 hours. Like the winners, they finish 7 hours before I do. Like it's a whole work day before I do. And at the end of the race, they come back, they're all showered, they look good, they don't look like they're sore at all, and they hand out the medals to the people who are coming in at the end. I see Jesus doing that. Man, he's already got his medal, but he's sitting there in the finish line cheering. He's sitting there like he can't wait for us to come through. But he's knowing, I'm cheering for him now while they're running, because they're also running next to Tommy and to Laura, right? They're also running next to Jason, and they need their cheering now. And he's saying, keep going, because it's worth it today, and it'll be worth it forever. All right, so in just a moment, we're gonna sing, and then we're going to let you go on your race of Easter Sunday. Before you do that, I want you to wrestle. I want you to think. I'm going to invite the worship team to come back up. I want you to be thinking about, are you in the right race? And even if we're a longtime follower of Christ, sometimes it's easy for us to step along that across that line and start saying, well, we're the ones doing the work. You're not. Jesus did it. It's already done, period. Okay, so are you running the right race? And do you know your why? Do you know what your why is? You get tired of running this race of Fife? I do. I get exhausted at times. I think it's time for us to take up Jesus' offer, to come to him, to let him carry our burden, our load. If you've never done that, today may be a good day to start. If you've done that before, today may be a good reminder that, oh, Jesus, you've already run the race. And I just want to encourage you, don't stop. Don't quit. Don't give up, no matter how much time you have left. Are you in the right race? And what's your why? Paul says, forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead, I press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God, through Christ Jesus, is calling us. Lord Jesus, may we run our race well. And we realize that none of us knows how many days we have left in our race, how many breaths we have left. Lord, for some, we've got decades. And for others, it may come this afternoon. It may come tomorrow. It may come on Wednesday. Lord Jesus, would you help us finish the race well? Would you help us finish with our eyes on you, seeing that you are cheering for us every step of the way, seeing this great cloud of witnesses that has gone before us, cheering for us every step of the way. Help us remember, Lord, that when we get tired, we can know you more. Help us remember that as we know you more now, we'll be able to remember and know you into forever. And Lord, help us remember that there are others around us who are watching, who are seeing our race with you, and who are learning what it means to be a follower of Jesus. Help us point them well to you as well. God, we can't do this on our own. You know that. That's why you did it. So I pray that you'd help us take our race shoes off, give them to you, and say, all right, you finished. Help me get there too. I pray this in the powerful name of Jesus Christ. And all God's people said, amen. Amen.